to help you look and feel your best. That's 248-594-9592.
This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Yes. I see. Tell me more. I'm hearing a lot of frustration. That must be very difficult for you. Oh, don't mind me. I'm just doing a little therapeutic stretching. That's all. You can't just come on to this show and start giving ideas and thoughts without stretching. 2 weeks ago, I pulled a muscle right there on my lower lip on the right side. And that was not because I was eating at the buffet. It was because I came on the show, somebody called in, and I immediately started to give input. You can't do that. You have to stretch. I spent close to a half an hour stretching before this program. You guys don't see that, but I have to do it. By the way, I'm Dr. A. The program's Doctor Is In. You've been noticing a lot of these kids, you know, on the college campuses, things don't quite go their way. They need a safe space, and they got to have some place to cry. All of this kind of delicate stuff. Well, let me put it to you this way. If you're listening and you got a college kid who just cannot handle the disappointment, cancel my test, I can't take it, I think you failed as a parent. Oh, geez. See the recent survey on some of these kids? They were all upset and they were all carrying on and they were all making demands from the university higher-ups. Did one survey, 70% of them didn't vote. Okay, 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program here on The Doctor Is In. I'm a clinical psychologist. I have a lot of opinions about a lot of things. I've been doing this a long, long time. I've been doing this long enough that people come into my office and say, I came to see you when my child was in a little preschool problem. I say, well, where's your child now? Oh, he's a great grandparent. All right. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program. I think there's a certain irony in that acronym, 57 equal. We did not do that. It's kind of like God giving me 10 kids. I'm a neatnik. You cannot be a neatnik with 10 kids, especially if you're all under 12. The house smells like a swamp. I used to put my shoe up to my face just to get fresh air. Everything's busted up. It's like a frat house. Everything's broken. There's a lot of throwing up. And there's chaos. How could I be a neatnik with 10 children? It's God's joke. Well, anyway, on this program, 1-877-57 equal. We're not equal here. None of us are equal. The only thing we are equal in is value in God's eyes. That's it. After that, it all ends. My producer man is Andrew Kruchek. His assistant, Joe Kennedy. Not of the Kennedy family, not of the Joe Kennedy of World War II. Yeah, you're not of the Kennedy family, Joe. Come on. I don't cling on that. He says he is. I'll have to talk to him about this on the break. He's one of the Kennedys, he says. All right. We don't lie on this program, Joe. Now, a couple of things. I hesitate to do this. I don't like doing this at all. I don't like doing this. However, it's very important. Living Right with Dr. Ray is a TV show that's in its sixth season on EWTN. It airs on Saturdays and I think Fridays and Tuesdays. We tape the show in Broadview Heights, which is a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. Not much farther north from Akron, really. And very close to about 10 of our affiliates in the EWTN radio network. We've had a lot of folks come to be in the audience. The audience makes the show. My opinion, hey, they can get another host. They can get somebody other than me. But you guys make the show. So I'm inviting you. You are part of the whole production. You're part of the clapping, and you're part of the little skits that we do. It's a lot of fun. You ask questions. We have some great guests. This upcoming taping, we've got a gentleman that's going to talk a lot about dementia. And how do you recognize dementia in an elderly relative early on? That's just what this guy does for a living. Okay, he assesses this. Dr. Terry, I'm going to have him there. Also going to have a friend of mine that collaborated with me on my first book, Back to the Family, when we interviewed strong families around the country. I'm going to twist his arm to be there. You go to drray.com, D-R-R-A-Y.com. The tape date is December 2. Three shows. You homeschoolers, that's a Friday. Bring your kids. We feed them. It's worth your time. It's virtual babysitting. We'd love to have you. Please fill up the audience. Okay. Enough of that. Remember the Sammy Davis Jr. song, I've Gotta Be Me? Remember that? Sammy Davis, I Gotta Be Me. I was listening to a bunch of young adults giving advice, life advice. They went around asking them. Probably the most common piece of life advice was some variant of be who you are. Make sure that you're you. Don't try to be something you're not. Be yourself. Part of the problem with being a shrink, you have a hard time swallowing cliches. You just do. That's a horrid cliche. Be you. What does that mean? Who am I going to be? Let's say, for example, that I have a certain impulse or a certain emotion that wants me to behave a certain way in a particular situation. And I don't behave that way because, oh, I'd be embarrassed. I'd worry what someone else would think. Am I not being me? See, I submit that I'm exactly being me. Why? Because in that context, I'm worried about being embarrassed. So, that's me. Who else is it going to be? I think all too often, I gotta be me or be yourself is a very dangerous cliche. Hear those sirens behind me? They finally found me. They've stopped. I may have only a couple more minutes to do this program, and then we'll have to throw a tape in. Nevertheless, if I say, I gotta be me, does that mean that I have to act on my emotional impulse? If, for example, I want to tell you off, I've just about had enough of you, you know? It's Thanksgiving. This is the ninth Thanksgiving in a row that I've had to put up with you. I'm going to let you have it. You know, it's going to be me that's going to let you have it. The last eight Thanksgivings, I've shut my mouth. I haven't said anything. I've wanted to say something, but I knew that would just cause problems. I knew it would be ugly. I knew that Mom would be offended because her two children are not getting along. So I shut my mouth. Was that not me? Of course it was me. It was me deciding I'd better shut my mouth for whatever the reason. Now, the fact that I have an emotional impulse to open my mouth does not mean that the real me got stifled. It didn't. I gotta be me oftentimes refers to the idea that I'm going to act the way I want to act. However my emotions drive me, whatever my impulses say to do, whatever momentary push I have to say something or do something. I personally believe that when you inhibit yourself from doing something that your emotions tell you to do, like maybe yell at somebody, put them down, make a snarky remark, I think that's not only being you, but I think that's being a good you. All of you comes together in how you act. Let's take the guy who has left his wife and children. People knew him as a church-going man. Went to the nursing home, delivered meals, helped knit shawls for the old ladies in the nursing home. He leaves his wife and three kids. Well, that's not him. I can't believe this. That's not who he is. And then my question is, who is it? Of course it is who he is. It's who he is in that situation. However that came about, whoever he met, whatever temptation he gave into, that's who he is. But that's just so unlike him. Well, it's unlike him up to this point. Maybe because he didn't have the opportunity. And you know, thank God that many of us don't have the opportunity to misbehave. Because I'm not so sure we could resist it. So you thank God for not putting you in situations, or, better put, not allowing you to be in situations. Lead us not into temptation kind of thing. That's who it is. Next time you hear somebody say, just be yourself. Now you got to ask the next question is, well, I don't know. What's that? Who is that? Part of the problem when I go to confession, half or more of the sins I confess are because I was myself. I don't want to be myself in those situations. I'd rather be different. But apparently, I was myself. And I had to go to confession. Watch out for cliches that sound so profound. There was a movie called Trading Places where the guy was... He was a gardener, I believe, and he wasn't a real bright sort. But somehow, some way, he became viewed as a financial guru, and that things that he said were interpreted by other people as brilliant. They would ask him an investment question, and he'd say something like, "The sky is always bluest right before it rains." And they'd run off, because what depth, what profundity! He didn't know what he was talking about. He just said a gardener thing. I got to be me? That is really one of those things that's got no depth to it at all. It's kind of like saying, I think I need to breathe to live. It's along the same genre. 877-573-7825. Usually I talk long enough in this opening monologue that the lines fill up. That's very kind of you folks to do this. We got all kinds of stuff up there. Adoption, OCD, biting, in-laws. Hey, actually, we don't have biting in-laws, do we? Adopted biting in-laws with OCD. No, that would be an amalgam of all the calls. I'm Dr. Ray. I got to take a break. You know why? I've got to find myself.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, Hope Clinic International, a faith-based ministry serving needy children in Nicaragua with medical and pediatric assistance. Let us join St. Francis in remembering that it is in giving that we receive. For information, go to hopeclinicinternational.org. If you have a message you want to share, be a day sponsor at 877-288-1077.
You can learn a lot about a university when you see what stands at its center. At the heart of Franciscan University of Steubenville stands Christ the King Chapel. Jesus is at the center of our spiritual life, campus community, athletics, and our academic community, where professors help students develop a passion for knowledge and truth. Discover a university that is academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Discover Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells the disciples to go back to Jerusalem. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. The word translated as power is also the root for our word for dynamite. Jesus is promising an explosive power that will enable us to witness to the nations and live a powerful Christian life. That same powerful Holy Spirit is received in baptism and confirmation,
as baptized and confirmed Catholics, we already have all we need to live life through the power of the Holy Spirit. If we remove the obstacles of our own understanding and lack of preparation and move with the Holy Spirit into the mission He has given us, we will change the world.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Much better. Much better. Give yourself a sticker for that. Tom Price, I didn't even know you were listening to the program. I better watch what I say. Shout out to your lovely wife, Adrienne. Tom Price down there at EWTN. He's my boss. Yeah, I know. I got to watch what I say around him. He's my boss. He could pull the plug anytime. Don't throw me in the briar patch, Mr. Price. It's great to be with you. I have more fun doing this program. They actually pay me for doing this. This is great. I wanted to have a job like that. You actually get paid for doing that? Yeah. Yeah, I do. We got an anonymous caller on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network out of, well, I don't want to say. It says WAH up there. I'm assuming that means Washington or not a childish fit. Hi, Anonymous. How are you?
Hi, I'm okay.
You're okay? That's it? Hey, wait a minute. You call this program, you are immediately moved from okay to better.
Okay. Yes, I will be better, I'm sure. I need some coping strategies or direction, advice, something. I'm finding myself surrounded by OCD people, and I'm assuming I'm not one of them, but I don't have the... They're draining my energy.
Do they live with you?
Yes.
That makes it tough.
Yeah, we have five children, and I have a spouse who comes from a family that's heavy with OCD. Now, they're all undiagnosed, but it's like undeniable symptoms.
Are they... wait a minute. Now, before we do an amateur diagnosis here, dear.
Yeah.
Are they OCD, or are they kind of regimented?
Oh, no, it's about the germs and the hand washing and the
classic
spot on the wall.
Stuff. All right, I got
you. Yeah, it's very textbook. So that's, we'll say that's my husband's mother and his brother, and probably a whole lot of extendeds outside of that.
Well, they don't live with you.
They live close. But because of that, we have five children. They're all very young, but our oldest was starting to do the hand washing thing. And we talked to a pediatrician, and she said, yep, sounds like OCD. And I thought, okay, here we go. It's affecting the kids.
And then time out.
Okay.
This is why you're kind of getting... flummoxed.
Okay.
Okay, we know your oldest washes, what, his or her? It's a boy, girl?
Girl, yeah.
Girl. How old is she, dear?
Almost 10.
Okay, so she started to do this, and the pediatrician, God bless the pediatrician, says, OCD! As though it explains anything. It doesn't. It just puts a name on it. Mm-hmm. We have no idea why your daughter does this. She may do it because... she's got a little bit of that genetic predisposition that floats all over your family.
Mm-hmm.
She may do it because somehow, some way, she's picked up a little bit of a modeling effect.
Yeah.
Maybe from dad, maybe from aunts, maybe from you guys talking about it at the dinner table.
Very possible, yeah. Very
so
possible.
She's picked it up. So your main question probably concerns your daughter, right?
Well, we noticed the other... okay, so the thing that drove me to call this morning is I cannot get out of the house on time with them for school, and it's over things like I can't see the honey on my oatmeal. It's sunk in. My sock doesn't feel right. I don't want to wear the underwear. None of my underwear feels right, and it's different kids. And we've disciplined... oh, yeah, we have a discipline system. We implement it. We've gone on blackouts for long periods of time over behavior until basically the period expires. But it seems like they'll go to the ends of the earth over the sock or the honey or the, you know, that's not my pink brush. I have to have my pink brush.
If
you know,
they go to the ends of the earth, Mom, you don't. Mm-hmm. You don't. Okay. Example, I can't see my honey in my oatmeal.
Yeah.
Well, I said that today to my wife. I said, I can't see my oatmeal, honey. But she doesn't cook oatmeal real well, but never mind. Given that, you say, well, sweetheart, we're leaving here in 5 minutes. I'll take your oatmeal. That's it. End of story.
Yeah, and they go hungry, and they will, and they have.
and you don't get pulled into this. This isn't exactly the way I want it. So I'm going to distress myself, Mother, and I'm going to ask you to correct it.
Yeah.
Make it right.
Yeah.
My guess would be that being a loving, caring ma, you probably tried to settle them. Probably say, well, honey, just stir it. Just stir it a little bit. The oatmeal will come to the top. That's okay. That's the only socks we have. You know, it could be worse. They could say, my sock is in my oatmeal. Now, that's the way it was in my house when we had a bunch of kids. You know, we would have prayed for them to say, I can't see my honey in my oatmeal.
Yeah.
But I would say, whether this is kind of a, the world isn't spinning the way I want it mindset among your children who are imitating everybody else, whether it's, boy, we sure know our families like this. I guess, wow, we're kind of like this too.
Mm-hmm.
That could be. You got to figure there's probably a little bit of a genetic predisposition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. But I think for you, the best thing you can do is to just not flow with it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I got to wash my hands. I got to wash my hands. We are late. No, I got to wash them one more time. I'm going to tell you, sweetheart, if you wash your hands one more time when we get home, you're going to go to bed early.
Yeah, now, I actually end up physically dragging them to the car and strapping them in.
Yeah,
well,
that's
then
when
what
you,
takes the time.
Okay, well, then you have to do that. There's going to be consequences.
Yeah.
You have to drag them to the car and put them in. You kindly, lovingly look at them and say, I shouldn't have had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I asked you, and you didn't. But Dr. Ray, this is a psychological thing here that they're struggling with. This is anxiety. It may be. The problem comes in. Now, Mom is saying I had to strap them in, so I'm assuming this is a young kid. This is a 4, 5, 6-year-old, right?
Yes. So, the 9-year-old stopped doing that, but she goes to pieces. She goes to tears. She's crying like you've killed her dog. I mean, it's over the top. But she'll go out there. She'll march out there and strap in.
Good.
But she'll just pull a tear.
Because she'll find out over time that the world didn't come to a stop.
Yeah.
That's what she needs to find out. That's so much a part of OCD. They have to have the regiment or the rumination, or in the extreme case, the compulsion, because if they don't, they're anxious, very seriously distressed. Well, if you can show someone, and that's the advantage you have with a kid, if you can show them that the world isn't going to stop spinning because you didn't get to change your socks, they may find, okay, I don't like it, I'm bothered by it, but I don't go over the top.
Well, so my husband are wondering. We've thought that, too.
I tell you what, honey, you call me back, because I know there's a lot of people waiting in line.
Oh, sorry. Okay,
I'm going
to
give you that advice, and then you give me a buzz back down the road, and we'll see what we can do to talk a little more about this. Thank you. All right,
thank you.
Thank you. All right, what do we got here? Oh, well, let's go to Mary from D.C. I think that's Guadalupe Radio Turf. She wants my opinion. Now, see, this is weird. I don't get women wanting my opinion very often. Women want me to give them their opinion in a deeper voice. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Dr. A. How are you?
I'm okay, honey. Now, this overbearing in-laws, this got to relate to the holidays coming up, right?
Absolutely. We're going there for Thanksgiving next week, so I'm just trying to brace myself a little bit.
This is an emergency call, that is, like a week later.
Woo! Yeah.
Well, wait. Yes. Okay. Let's define overbearing. Does that mean they put you down? Does that mean they are opinionated? Does that mean they don't like your Catholic faith? What does that mean?
No, it's very specifically with, sounds kind of weird, but they really love to help, especially with finances. My husband and I, you know, we've been married for 2 years. We're 26. We have a kid. You know, we're really, you know, doing this whole marriage and life thing, trying to do it on our own, you know, financially and kind of stand alone in that way. But, they love to give and give and give. And
well, Mary, wait a minute. How do I get invited?
Yeah. I know. And that's where I'm not sure if I just need to suck it up and try and work on my pride and just accept. But a lot of it is like, for example, we were looking for a new car and, we needed a new car and my father-in-law one day called us up and said that he found a car for us and that he had bought it. And, it just seems like, yeah.
That's presumptuous, like that. Isn't it?
Yes. That is very frustrating.
All right. Stay there. Okay, don't leave me, Mary. Great. I got no money to give you, so I'm just asking you to stay there out of the goodness of your heart.
Great.
What kind of car, by the way?
It's a Dodge Grand Caravan minivan.
Brand new?
No. Probably 10, 8 years old.
Oh, just tell him I'm not accepting this piece of junk. Stay there, honey. I'll be right back.
Great.
This is Dr. Ray. I'll tell you, Mary doesn't want money. She doesn't want a new car. Well, wow. I thought it was just going to be something easy, like you're not raising your kid right. Don't stick him on the corner. That's cruel. 10-year-old Dodge Caravan. Yeah, it's kind of a dorky image. Minivan?
No matter how busy you are, you can find 3 minutes a day to focus on your moral and spiritual well-being. That's why the Christophers have a new book called 3 Minutes a Day. It's a book of daily reflections, and it's a perfect gift for yourself or your loved ones. To order a copy for $10, call 1-888-298-4050. Again, that's 1-888-298-4050, or visit Christophers.org to buy it online. We look forward to hearing from you.
The Doctor Is In is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Psalm 23 teaches us about God through the image of a shepherd, as it illustrates what a good shepherd must know and do for his flock. A good shepherd knows how to find food and water and leads his sheep to those locations. A good shepherd knows the landscape. He knows where to find shade and which are the safe paths. A good shepherd is able to protect his sheep from those who want to destroy them. Thus, sheep are tended by a good shepherd and have safety and security, nourishment and rest. In John's Gospel, Jesus proclaims himself to be the good shepherd. Psalm 23 teaches us what Jesus offers to us as our shepherd and what he wants to provide for us in our daily lives. Let us pray that we will let Jesus guide, nourish, and protect us as our shepherd, that we may rest with him in this life and the next. This message is brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan, cbsmich.org.
That's the same music we went out with. What are we doing, budget? Isn't it? Oh, that's the music we went out with. All right. No new age stuff here on The Doctor Is In. Mostly middle age. I wish I was middle aged. That means I'd live to 182 or whatever. Delighted to have you with me. 877-573-7825. Co-production. Ave Maria Radio Communications and the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm talking to a young married mom. 26, Mary, from D.C. She's worried. She's got these overbearing in-laws. She's gone to see them on Thanksgiving. You figure overbearing, you hear this, they're going to be opinionated. They're going to tell you how to raise your kid. They're going to make snarky remarks about your Catholic faith. Nope. They buy Mary and her husband stuff. They bought him a car. Well, the first thing you do is you look at him, Mary. And you say, this is it? It's not the right color. You're right. That is very, very presumptuous. Mm-hmm. Now you can do one of two or three things, honey. And I'm going to assume your husband and you are in agreement on this, because otherwise that throws a whole new dynamic in the picture. He agrees?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He better agree with you. If he wants to have a happy marriage, he better just agree with you.
Yeah, no, he does agree. I think I obviously feel a lot more passionate about it. One other small example is that, like, he's still on his parents' cell phone plan. And, I've been saying for a long time, like, well, you know, you need to come onto my plan kind of thing. And he doesn't. It's not that he disagrees with me. He just
doesn't. Lazy. Lazy.
Yeah.
Path of least resistance.
Yeah.
The problem here, as I smell it, is that it's not so much that they want to do these things for you. It's the strings that come attached.
Exactly.
We're in your life. We're kind of going to tell you how to run it. We have our opinions, and we know what's best, and therefore you, as the 26-year-old wife that he married, your judgment ain't exactly the best, and we'll help you out here.
Okay. Exactly.
Comes with a velvet thundering hand, in the words of Dan Fogelberg. Okay, two levels. One, your reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You interpret this as, they aren't going to let us be independent and live our own lives. And my husband is always going to be somehow attached to these people financially, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sit down with your husband. Say, where are we going to go with this? How are we going to react to these gifts that we didn't ask for?
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's one. The other level is you decide what to do with the gifts. Just a very practical thing. You
right.
can say, well, Dad, thanks. Thanks a lot. Very much. Do you call him Dad, or you call him by his first name?
I call him what my daughter calls him, Grandpa.
All right, a little compromise there.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the car. We're going to try to use it. We're not sure that's exactly what we want. We might buy another one, and we'll see what we'll mm-hmm. do with this one. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they get really mad, then you're absolutely right here, Mary. Now they're telling you, we do have strings attached, and you better accept our gifts. And if you don't, you're looking at a gift horse in the mouth, and you're throwing it back in our face, and we're not going to tolerate that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see. You're going to see how they react when you say, gee, thank you, we'll use this until we find a car.
Right.
Yeah, you can do that. I would suggest your husband does it, if he's not scared.
Right.
He's not scared. Is he listening?
Yeah.
Tell him, don't be afraid, sissy. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So given that, I would say personally, I don't have any problems with them saying, here, we helped you out financially. I would just decide what I'm going to do with it. If say they give me $500, okay,
mm-hmm.
for Christmas, and I don't want $500. Okay, I say, well, thank you. We're going to give a lot of this to charity. This is great. We've always wanted to give more money to charity. No, no, no. That is for you. That is for you to spend on something you need. Well, I think what I need most is to have the grace of giving money to charity.
Right.
Well, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have given it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't fight with them. Don't argue with them. Gently take your stand there. But make sure your husband's right beside you, not behind you. Not
right.
behind you, over your shoulder going, yeah, what she says. It's a good thing I got my good pants on, or there'd be an argument here. Good luck there, Mary. And by
Thank
the way,
you, so
you know,
much.
You got to look on Consumer Reports, because I really don't think the Dodge Caravan is ranked that high. You might bring a Consumer Report into him. Say, wait a minute.
Tell me about it.
Where's the Mercedes, man? This is how you treat your first grandkid?
Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you, honey.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay. All righty. Let's see where we're going here. Well, let's do a real straightforward one. This is pretty simple. Now, some of you may not be able to relate to this. This is a relatively narrow question. You probably shouldn't have this problem. But if you do have this problem, and your child is 17... or your family member does this, then you got serious problems. So Mona, calling from Delaware, Ohio, little suburb of Columbus there, St. Gabriel Radio, I believe it is, has a grandson, 18 months old. My little granddaughter's been at our house the last week, and now I understand why God makes it so that we can't have children past a certain age. Because I fell over exhausted following her. So the 18-month-old grandson is a chomper. Hi, Mona.
Hi. Talk to you.
Hey, has he chomped on you?
He has, yes.
Why did you get close? Are you dialing? Who are you dialing?
No, this is my phone. I'm on a cell phone. I don't know.
You're leaning against it with your ear on your shoulder, right?
All right. Okay. Should be good.
All right. Now, Mona, here's my question. How'd you get close enough for him to get a bite at you?
He's an attacker. He'll sneak up on you.
Ah, all right. Kind of like them pit vipers. You know, those poisonous snakes that come up and nail you? Well, first thing, you try to be aware of his movements. That's the first thing. I personally have no problems with a crack on the bottom or the hand or the leg because of this.
Okay.
Because you want to stop it. Now people will say, oh, Dr. Ray, that's just so ridiculous. He's aggressive, and then you're going to teach him not to be aggressive by being aggressive. What a mixed message. I can't explain why that falls apart. I will do it on a future look-back call. However, the biting is nothing. It's not malice. It's just a habit at 18 months. Some of them do it. When you're that size, you know your strongest muscle in your body is in your jaw, and your dentin in your teeth, your enamel in your teeth, the hardest substance. It's your main weapon, all right? So, one, stay out of his way, and two, put a very firm consequence on it. In the corner, whatever. Make it happen now. All right. Took a bite out of that one.
Franciscan University of Steubenville is known for its academics and Catholicism, and for good reason. With more than 40 majors and a curriculum that integrates faith and reason, Franciscan University delivers top-notch academics. Campus life centers around Mass, and students can't wait for their semester in Austria to immerse themselves in the history of their Catholic faith. Discover a university that is academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Discover Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu.
As healthcare open enrollment begins, we invite you to explore the CMF Curo Catholic Healthcare Ministry. CMF Curo is half the cost of many traditional healthcare options and is consistent with church teaching. Members share medical costs and are exempt from the Affordable Care Act. To learn more about CMF Curo, go to cmfcuro.com. Experience your faith in your healthcare today. Visit cmfcuro.com. Christian caring, Christian sharing.
Hello, this is Steve Ray, and my wife Janet and I would like to invite you to join us on the Catholic Heritage of Mexico pilgrimage. It's a great country of delightful surprises, one of the places where Christianity started in the Western Hemisphere. We're going to visit Mexico City, but we're going to spend a lot of time in Guadalupe with time to study and pray and learn as we go through this wonderful country. We hope that you can join us this December 2016.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
The mystery of death has troubled and fascinated humanity since the beginning of time. Our own experiences of mourning deceased family members and friends teach us the deep longing of the human heart for hope in the face of death. Many Catholics have lost a clear sense of how to face this experience with faith and peace. Planning funeral services in advance is not only a gift to our family and friends, but it is an affirmative way to embrace our own call to resurrection. Please take this time to call your local parish or diocese about pre-planning your cemetery and funeral rites. This message brought to you by Catholic Management Services.
Thinking of our previous call there on biting. When we adopted our 2 4-year-olds, our daughter Sarah was 3 at the time. She did not like these intruders. No way. all of a sudden she's displaced in the pecking order. But she responded in a very nonverbal, mature 3-year-old way. She started biting them, chomping at them, all over the place. We handled it rather unusually. Joanna, the 4-year-old, would come to us crying. Tara bit me. Tara bit me. And it just went on for like that. But it's like pro football. Actually, it's like any football. The guy who throws the second punch gets the flag. The first guy didn't get caught. All right? Well, Sarah was biting. She was biting in response. Joanna was tormenting her. We started to get this idea. How did we know this? We had a whole house security system installed. 5-year-old daughter who saw everything at all times everywhere and told on everybody. We told Joanna, if Sarah bites you, you're in trouble. Sarah's going to be in trouble, but you're going to be in trouble too. Why? I didn't do nothing. Well, JoJo, I think you're doing something to make Sarah mad. Nuh-uh. Well, it was the miracle. The biting stopped as soon as Joanna started getting punished, too. It's a miracle. Now, speaking of this, by the way, this is interesting, too, because we were denied our 2 4-year-olds when we went to adopt. Not because they thought we were bad people, although I was a little nervous about my wife. I tried to bring another woman, but my wife insisted on going along. We were denied because we had 4 children at the time. And they said, no way, no how. You got 4, 6, 5, 3, 1. You ain't going to get 2 4-year-olds. Ha! They had to give them to us because the other 2 families backed out because they saw the kids. That's right. So our anonymous caller from Maryland says they were denied adoption. Hi, Anonymous.
Hi. Hi there, Dr. Ray.
Is this the first time you tried to adopt?
Yes, and the thing is, she was honest. This is an older child program, and what she was said, she was describing the type of situations that these kids have been exposed to and what they're coming from, and that we need to allow them to, continue watching the TV and listening to the music and all, because that's what they've been exposed to.
My dear, these are not the conditions under which you would want to adopt.
Right. I just wanted, I know you have strong opinions and things.
I think it's nonsense. I think it's absolute nonsense. And I think it is the opinion of the caseworker who has decided these children have had a wretched history. They have had unbridled, immoral freedom. Well, we must allow this to continue. Of course. Oh, don't get me started. You already got me started, so it's too late. Do you have to go through this agency in the future?
No, we don't.
Good.
But the thing is, she was describing they've been through the foster programs. They've been without, parental guidance, et cetera, for years. And so she was just saying, this is the way it is.
And it doesn't have to be the way it continues.
Well,
I don't understand. Well, I do understand her philosophy because she's reflecting so much of some of the cliched, stereotypical nonsense that has now taken over, especially in the adoption world. How old are these kids?
Well, it's an older child program, so preteen, 10 to 14, something like that.
All right. Well, my suggestion to you, do you have kids in your home?
No.
Okay. First of all, you are at a premium. By that, I mean that someone who wants to adopt older children and take on those histories are few and far between.
Yep.
The agencies should be clamoring to get someone like you.
Well, what she said was the children wouldn't choose us because of how we run our household.
Well, of course. Of course these children are so wise because they've had a wretched history with no moral upbringing. And of course we need to give them that kind of moral judgment. What's wrong with you, mother? Do you see what I mean, how ridiculous it is? On
right,
one hand, on one hand, the agency is saying they've been bounced around. They've had no parental upbringing, which means they're really short on morals and socialization. Oh, by the way, let's let them choose the best environment for themselves.
Yeah.
Oh,
dear. Yeah.
My suggestion to you, you either look for another agency, another caseworker. We need folks like you willing to jump into the middle of that stream and take on these tough kids. Now, if you're asking me, my experience is when you take in older kids with this kind of history, the chances of things going smoothly for you are very, very low. Very low.
Right.
But you are giving these kids love for the time they're with you. You're giving them a family. You're giving them a port in a storm. And you're giving them some place to come back to if and when they're 34 years old and they decide to straighten out their lives.
Right.
Given that, there are many other options for you. There are a ton of private adoption agencies out there. A ton.
Okay.
You go to a book called The Adoption Resource Handbook. It lists them state by state.
Okay.
Okay. I have a book called Adoption, Choosing It, Living It, Loving It. And it
we
talks.
Have that book.
Well, then you should be smart as all get out. You slap that book. You know what? Why we were almost denied adopting our third child?
Why?
Bedroom. They said
what
to us,
mean?
Well, we were in a home at that time that had three bedrooms. My wife was in one. I was down on the couch. Actually, no, she sometimes let me come up and sleep in the bedroom with her. She was in one, son in one, daughter in one. And so we were adopting our third child. We had to go through, you know, you went through the social evaluation. That's what they do.
Right.
She said, how many bedrooms do you have? I said, three. But we have room to add on like that. Now, one, I was telling the truth. We do have room to add on. Two, I had no intentions of adding on. This is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. And she can't share a bedroom with her sister. Okay? So apparently, we snaked by that particular evaluation. But we almost were questioned because we didn't have a bedroom. Do you believe it? I know. Some of the nonsense that now runs things is mind-numbing. You find yourself another agency, honey, or another avenue to pursue. Don't let that stop you.
All right.
I'll tell you, I've been in this business a long time, and that's one of the first times I've heard something like that. Okay?
Okay.
Now, bedrooms I can understand. I got that. Bless your heart. You go, girl. You call me if and when it happens. You believe this. Here's a mom and a dad who said, yeah, we're going to take in some tough 12, 13, 14-year-old kids that have been bounced all over the place. Oh, and by the way, they've been allowed to do all kinds of things that are wretched for their morals and their souls, and we want that to continue. Why? Because the children want it. Oh, man, no wonder they're rioting on campuses. This is Dr. A. Sherry, you're up next when I come back.
These are perilous times for our nation. Many spiritual leaders have requested the faithful to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and to pray the Holy Rosary, both with the prayer intention for the protection of the United States of America. We need to turn to God and plead for His help in these difficult times. Again, let us all pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and the Holy Rosary, both with the prayer intention for the protection of the United States of America.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds.
The Ave Maria Mutual Funds offer equity and fixed income mutual funds that can combat today's low interest rates that harm many long-term investment plans. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Their portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. To learn more, the number is toll-free, 1-866-AVE-MARIA, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta, and on Cresta in the Afternoon, we weekly interview guests who are expert in church doctrine, religious liberty, protecting the unborn, Vatican diplomacy, edifying movies, and much, much more. And we want to make those interviews easier to share with your family and friends. So we're looking for volunteers to transcribe these interviews into text form. They're going to be circulated nationally. And if you're interested in helping, email Nick at ntom, T-H-O-M-M, at wdeo.net.
As we travel the beautiful roads of Michigan during these glorious fall days, we are reminded of why we choose to live in Michigan. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And speaking of living, during our Black Friday sales event, you can now lease a new Dodge Journey or Charger, Jeep Cherokee or Renegade, or Chrysler Pacifica or 300, all starting from $198 a month. These are world-class in safety and styling and can be found right here in your own backyard, only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Joe, you pick the junkiest bumper music. This is, you have way too much power. Andrew, control him. I'm Dr. A. Thank you for joining me. I guess they're trying to calm me down with some kind of music here. I do have blue colors here in the studio. Settle me out. Delighted so much to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday. If you can, run to the website. DrRay.com and get some information about the taping of the TV show coming up on December 2nd if you want to be in the audience. And by the way, those of you who are homeschoolers, your kids are off from school that day because they're home, bring them. They'll get to see how an international production is done. The cameras and the sound people and the booms and all that stuff. It's an educational experience. Some of you homeschooling families can fill up the audience yourself. Sherry from Texas has an adopted grandchild. Very nasty. Very nasty little guy. Or older guy. And he is this way to his younger brother, who also is adopted. Sherry, are you raising them?
No, these are my daughter and son-in-law adopted them 2 years ago.
How old were they?
They were 8 and 10.
Ooh, all right. It's kind of similar to a previous call. Yeah, so I would expect the 10-year-old to be a handful, don't you?
Yes, and I think what I was looking for, do you have an advice for what else they might try? They have tried positive. They have tried negative. They discipline. You can't do that. And the other interesting thing about Romello is that outside the home, he is very, very, he tries to be what he thinks people want him to do. So, you take him out. If I take him out somewhere.
You want the good news or the bad news, Sherry?
I'll take them both.
The good news is this. There's probably a lot more than they can do than they realize. My office is filled with people who come in and are absolutely convinced they have tried everything and nothing works. Absolutely convinced. The vast majority of the time when we talk, they acknowledge that there are all kinds of things they could have done better. All kinds. They were overwhelmed by the child's behavior, and they developed a whole lot of bad habits that are making it look like there's no way they can control this child. So that's the good news.
Okay.
They got a lot of room to improve.
That's good.
Now the bad news is this. This kid was 10 years old when they adopted him. I don't know where he was before that, but my guess would be when you're 10 years old, you've been bounced around. If that's the case, this kid is really lagging in socialization, in moralization. in self-image, in conduct, in impulse control, maybe learning. He's got some real Swiss cheese holes there. So that's what they're dealing with. They're dealing with a kid that's tough. There's no question. Which means that their discipline's going to have to be three times as good as it was, and their love and their communication and their parenthood, all that, is going to have to kick in. Now, I can't give you specifics on this because obviously I don't know exactly what their problems are. I have a book that might help them. It's called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It is 100 of the most common discipline questions I get asked. Ages 2 to 18, so he's smack in the middle of that book. All right? Go to my website. It's there, drray.com. It's there. That might help him because I have found in cases like this, especially with older adopted children, most of the time the kid overwhelms the parents. He does.
Well, I think that's probably true because it seems like you're not making any progress no matter what you do. And, you know, you try to talk to them and, you know, he'll admit to things. He will admit to, you know, when they finally figured out he was bullying the younger boy, his younger brother, he admitted to it. Once he gets caught, he'll admit to it, but he seems to have no remorse.
Most people admit to stuff once they get caught. no remorse is part of, again, 10 years of poor socialization, poor moralization, lack of parenting. I would expect him not to have remorse. If they expect him to have remorse, they're going to be frustrated. So check out that book there, Sherry. See if it'll help them. It's going to be a lot more than what I can give you right now. Plus, it was a cheap plug for my own stuff. Thanks for joining me, everybody. I appreciate it. This is Dr. Ray. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Joe. I got to run. Walk with God. Hold your kids tightly by the hand, except if they bite. If they bite, watch out. Arm's length.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit drray.com. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Princeton's Professor Robert George spoke at the first meeting of the year at the Our Lady of Good Counsel Gospel of Life Group.
Well, I do want to talk with you this evening, as Father said, about something that I know you've all heard people say, and that's the idea that one can be legitimately, reasonably, logically, consistently opposed to the taking of human life in abortion and embryo-destructive research, yet nevertheless pro-choice, respectful of the right of other people to have abortions or to perform deadly experiments on human embryos.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. That was Princeton's Professor Robert George. On our next program, you'll hear him talk about life and so-called Catholic politicians and their abortion views. He'll unmask their clouded thinking and take questions from the audience. Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
On the verge of the 100th anniversary of the most significant and widely witnessed church-to-prove miracles in the modern age, the Men of the Sacred Hearts are proud to sponsor the showing of the classic movie, The Miracle of Our Lady of Fatima, at 2 o'clock on October 23rd at the historic Redford Theater. Tickets can be purchased at menofthesacredhearts.org. That's The Miracle